Good morning, everyone. Praise the Lord for modern technology that allows us to communicate and keep in contact. It's proving to be a real blessing at this time. I was originally going to talk about the letter to the church at Thyatira in Revelation, but I decided, because of the present circumstances, that that would not be appropriate. So what I want to talk about this morning is to extend my thoughts a little bit on a comment that I posted on WhatsApp in regard to Isaiah 26 verse 20. Now we're going through events which are deeply troubling, and I'm sure that all around the world believers are seeking God's face during this time. And I'm sure also that there were many ideas put forward as to what is happening and why it's happening. Amongst them, no doubt, will be, and in fact I've already read something along these lines, that this is the judgment of God, or it's a huge attack of Satan, both of which are possible and probable, perhaps. But I personally prefer to think of this as a warning from God that we need to pay attention to what he's saying in these last days. Now, this may well be an expression of displeasure from God towards the world, for a warning is in effect an expression of displeasure, even if it's just cautionary. But we need to know as believers that God is not displeased with us, for we are in the Beloved. So Isaiah 26:20, let's read this, and then I want to unpack a little bit of some of the thoughts in there. Go, my people, enter your rooms and shut the doors behind you. Hide yourselves for a little while until his wrath has passed by. Even in times of judgment, God will find a way to protect his people. And sometimes that is by adopting the simple expedient of hiding. The whole concept of hiding is rather more common in Scripture than at first one might think. For example, we know that as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are hidden in Christ. Colossians chapter 3 verse 3 says this, "For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God." Our life is hidden with Christ in God. We are locked away in Christ, and Christ is locked away in God. So the devil has to go through at least two members of the Godhead to get to us. It ain't going to happen. The term hidden suggests a number of things, or the term hidden certainly in this context suggests a number of things. First of all, the thought of security, being kept safe and away from external threats. Secondly, the thought of care, for we did not hide ourselves. We didn't choose to hide ourselves, and we don't have the power to do it anyway. But God has done so, and this demonstrates his loving care over us. Thirdly, invisibility. The source and spring of our life is in God, and that is not open for all to gaze at. Indeed, we ourselves don't really understand it, do we? It's a mystery. Unbelievers sometimes look at the church and think they understand the way that it ticks, or how individual believers tick, but they don't really. They don't really have any idea. And I'm sure that we've all had the experience of someone who doesn't know Christ saying to us, "I don't understand why you're so happy all the time," and actually sometimes getting rather irritated about it. They can't figure us out. We can't figure ourselves out, really. And even when the life of God within us is manifest through the exercise of our gifting or the manifestation of godly character from within us, still the source and spring of it remains largely hidden. We could go on talking about this for quite some time, about safety, provision, blessing, care, concern, anointing. All of these concepts are tucked away in that thought of hiding. But I want to move on. Clearly the prime purpose of hiding is safety, to shelter from a threat. And there is no doubt that we are under threat right now. And there have been many times in history when the threat he spent quite a lot of his time hiding. In 1 Samuel 24, we read how David was hiding in a cave when Saul, who was chasing him, came in to relieve himself in the cave, and David could have killed him, but he refused to do it. David was chased around the houses by Saul for something like 4 years, so he knew something about hiding, did David? And during this period, obviously, he wrote a number of psalms which reflect his experience during this time, reflects his experience in God. For example, Psalm 27:5, "For in the day of trouble he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock." So David, the hero, the great warrior, the great king, eventually, knew what it was to have to hide. He learned during this period just what a refuge God is during a time of threat. The experiences he had during that time were used by the Holy Spirit in the writing of many of the Psalms, which have provided us with blessing and comfort ever since. During times of threat, God is our hiding place, our refuge from the storm. My parents were small children at the outbreak of the First World War, so they knew a little bit about that. Then they went through the Great Depression in the 30s, then through the Second World War. My mum worked in a munitions factory. My dad served in the army, was captured, wounded, captured, and served in a prisoner of war camp for 2 years, was eventually repatriated home to the UK. And then, even when they got home, even when the war had ended, they knew the shortage of rationing, I think right up until 1954, if my memory serves correct. When I compare their life to mine, I realise how astonishingly blessed I have been. So for me, and perhaps many of us, most of us, this is the first time we've ever faced a threat of this magnitude, even if it is only temporary. So we can learn from people who were threatened in the scriptures, and we can learn a lot from David. Again, Psalm 32 verse 7, "You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance." No, not just hid, not just protected, but surrounded by songs. There is a time for rejoicing, even in the midst of threat. And indeed, I would say it's crucial that we rejoice in the Lord during this time. David, of course, learned that the true hiding place was not the cave, it was the Lord himself. And our hiding place is not our houses, but it is the Lord. And of course, we must be wise. David knew the Lord was his hiding place, but he still hid in the cave. We know the Lord is our hiding place, but we still stay in our homes. Hiding is not necessarily, as some might suggest, an act of cowardice. Sometimes it's just wisdom. Elijah, for example, hid from Jezebel. Well, I suppose he ran away, really. But at the time, it was the prudent thing to do. Others were also hidden. In 2 Kings 11 and verse 1, we read this. "When Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she proceeded to destroy the whole royal family. But Jehosheba, the daughter of King Jehoram, and sister of Ahaziah, took Joash, son of Ahaziah, and stole him away from among the royal princes, who were about to be murdered. She put him and his nurse in a bedroom to hide him from Athaliah, so he was not killed. He remained hidden with his nurse at the temple of the Lord for 6 years while Athaliah ruled the land." That's a long time, isn't it? And I read, I think it was Anne Frank that hid in an attic with 8 others, I think it was, for 2 years. So this, although it may seem a long time, it's nothing at all. We've only been locked down for what, just over a week? It's nothing. The Jews were hidden during Passover. Passover was a judgment from God, but it was also a picture of judgment from God, a greater judgment from God that will, sadly, eventually one day come upon the earth. And during that time, the Jews were hid. And again, in the end days, the Jews will be hidden during this time of terrible trouble. This may surprise you, but even Jesus hid. John 8:58. Very truly I tell you, Jesus answered, before Abraham was born, I am. At this they picked up stones to stone him, but Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple grounds. And again in John 12:36, Jesus said, believe in the light while you have the light, so that you may become children of light. When he had finished speaking, Jesus left and hid himself from them. I suppose there is that within some of us that naturally wants to confront a threat, tackle the problem head on. And some, I think, are suggesting that hiding could express a lack of faith. But we see from Scripture there is a time to hide, to be secure in the secret place of God whilst God works. David was the man who ran towards Goliath, but ran away from Saul. Different circumstances call for different responses. When threat comes, some will always want to hide, and some will always want to charge in. But the truth is, of course, we need to know what the Lord is saying to us at that particular moment in time, in regard to whatever the particular threat is. So back now to Colossians 3. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And verse 4, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Verse 4 completes the thought starting in verse 3. For every hiding place there is an appearance. Jesus hid himself, for it was not time for him to confront the Jews, to be revealed in his glory. David hid from Saul, for it was not time for him to be revealed fully as king. Same with Joash. After the hiding of the Passover came the extraordinary miracles and revealing of the glory of God through the Exodus. God's hiding is always productive. Moses was hid, but eventually he was revealed. In fact, we could perhaps even go so far as to say that almost every ministry has to go through a period of hiding, a time of patient testing before the glory is revealed. We are hidden in Christ, but one day we will be revealed in glory. The body of Christ is at the moment in many ways, not totally, but in many ways, hidden on this earth. But our glorious revealing is coming. Perhaps that's why it's customary for brides to wear veils at a wedding, a symbol of the unveiling of the bride at the marriage feast of the Lamb. Even the plants hide in winter. God does a growing work in the secret place. This is a principle of God, I believe, revealed both in nature and in the Word of God, that we need to get a hold of. This current hiding away, though it's forced on us, will be productive for us as individuals and for the body of Christ. God will be working in this time. Indeed, our whole hidden life on this earth is reflected in nature, the hidden growth before the revealing of the fruit. We don't know what fruit we are bearing, and we won't know until the great beamer of Christ, when Christ judges our works. Then our fruit will be revealed. We're hidden while God prepares us, ready for the glory and fruit to be yet revealed. Already I believe this hiding is doing a work. It's teaching us a greater appreciation of one another and of our fellowship with one another in the Spirit, a greater appreciation of the freedom that we have to worship, and a greater empathy perhaps with those who are not free. For us as believers, hiding in reality is often, in effect, a waiting on God, waiting for him to do his work, being patient through a long dark winter while he establishes his work in us. We await God's time. I feel there is a great work of God going on in the earth at the moment, and a great work going on in us if we let it. We await our moment. I believe and trust that this time of hiding will bring forth the body of Christ in even more glory, even more splendour, and that the gospel will just blossom all over the world, even as a flower blossoms in spring. It's always amazing to me when I look at my garden and what has looked so dead suddenly comes into life and flowers appear, and you think, how has that miracle occurred? May it be so for us in these days. Let's pray. Father, I pray this morning for us, Lord, the body of Christ, that you will pour out your Spirit upon us, that during this time the believers all over the world will be protected and kept under the shadow of your wings, but that in due course we will come forth with songs of praise in our hearts and the gospel on our lips, that we will come forth in the glory and the splendour that you have ordained for us, that all around the world the gospel will prosper, that millions will be saved as a result of this present time that we're going through. Father, we commit ourselves into your hands and pray that you will keep us and watch over us as a loving Father. Thank you, Lord. Amen. God bless you all. I look forward to seeing you in the flesh, as it were, very soon. God bless.